rehearsal, I'm sorry. Okay, let me start out by sharing a few things. I'd much rather watch our kids sing than go pay however much money to watch a professional. And I tell you, when they first opened up with that first song, they almost had me ready to dance. I saw Lane just a-swinging them arms, and that Sloan, boy, she loves her daddy. And that Brennan, and oh, seeing all these different ones sing. And we were heading out to church. Janine, what was that, Monday night for practice? And I was studying the other day, and I came across Abdiel's name, and I know I came across it in the Greek as well, but I couldn't quite remember where it was. And so we were looking up Abdiel's name, and his name means servant of God. Wow. God ordained name, you know. And just so thankful. But seeing these children up here singing these songs of the Lord, my heart was encouraged, was comforted, excited. But I'd much rather watch these little ones sing about the Lord any day than go watch a group of professionals anytime. Sign me up. Because that was something to rejoice in. And for encouragement purposes, the way we saw all them tonight, I can't help but to think that that's the way God sees us. Pastor Gary encouraged years ago, he had made a statement. And he has said, okay, when you start raising teenagers and they start going through that strong-willed phase, he says, just try to picture them back when they were small, like some of these up here. He says, just try to picture that. So that's something that I've been doing as we're kind of going through the teenager phase and raising some of our boys. And the Lord has blessed me with strong-willed sons. But God made them that way. He don't want them to be pushovers. So it's teaching me patience, and it's teaching me how to humbly come before God and ask for his help in finishing that work of raising children. And so I've been lately, picturing them that way. And so let me encourage you, parents. How you saw them here tonight, as you start to get to some of those teenage years, and they're becoming independent, and they're, you know, wanting to grow up, remember these times. These are sweet times, just wonderful times. So it's encouraged me watching Sammy, and I'm going, this little kid's a trip. But it made me go back to when my boys were young and to keep them remembering that time. It'll be encouraging for you, and it may get you through some tough times. Do you remember when you said that, Pastor Gary? Yeah. It's a sweet time. Now, with that being said, I'd like to, well, we got Mr. Dave back, but before we move to you, Pastor Greg's brother was in an accident. We were in a meeting. I'm just going to share with you guys our part. We were in a meeting about the church building with Mr. Bob, and we were going over all the different things that God is doing and the doors he's opening, and as he's starting to bring us into starting in January, Lord willing, to start to prepare the parking lot area. And we'll cover more of that as it comes. There's going to be some different moving around that we have to do and parking in the cemetery. But Pastor Greg, he got a call that his brother was in an accident. We don't know to what degree, James, you're saying he talked to him.
They were able to talk to him on the phone, but it didn't seem like, Talon, do you hear any different? They didn't know anything specific yet.
No, all we know, he was behind them on the way in. I guess they had gone through a light and he had gotten stopped there, and then he didn't get here. And so they made a call. I mean, he called, so we're assuming that everything is all right.
Okay.
He's had back and neck problems in the past, so
right.
You know, hoping that it's just a precaution, but they're there with him. So.
Okay. And on top of that, too, I think it was Mark and Natalie. Mark got into an accident tonight, and that's why Noah couldn't be here. We don't think it was bad. But keep them in prayer as well, along with Pastor Greg's brother at this time. And if you could also continue to remember Kim Phelps and her brother and his wife, as they're going through some difficulty at this time as well. And we've also had different ones ministering in the body. God's opening some doors to witness and to share the gospel. Different ones, unbelievers, that God's opening the door. And we're praying for these opportunities. We want to see different ones coming to know the Lord, and we want to be a church that's sharing this gospel and ministering. And so we're praying that we'll see these different ones come walk through these doors. If not, that we'll see them in heaven, you know, either way. But that's our prayer. With that being said, Mr. Dave, you're here. We missed you. It's not the same without you. You're a faithful brother. So you want to share with us what's going on with you?
Same thing, just more of it. But I think we figured something out this past, Tuesday. Yeah. Anyway, in the last couple of days, and we've started changing one of my treatments, so that hopefully that will help. And just stay hydrated. It's important. I kind of got lost in my hydration. Wasn't taking care of myself the way I should.
Yes, sir.
And it lent to this. And your body doesn't respond as fast as you'd like to think it does. I'm learning that.
Yes, sir.
I've got to do it more consistently.
I remember with Daniel, you know, he starts to wake up and we're thinking, okay, well, let's pack it up and head on home. And it doesn't work that way, does it? You know? And that's part of the Lord just teaching us patience. And I was like, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it. But we're so glad to have you back, brother.
Me too. Glad to be here. Not being here, I'll tell you that.
And I think I did notice as well, there's a card on the women's bathroom door wanting to sign for Don and Kay. You want to share what's going on with them?
Well, they've been down and out for a couple of weeks now. Kay was going to have her shoulder replaced.
Mm-hmm.
But then she got a really bad bronchitis, so they put it off, and it was a couple different rounds of antibiotics that started clearing up, and then the sinus knocked her down real bad. In the meantime, Don, who we thought was going to have hip surgery, it's not hip surgery. It turns out to be bone spurs on some lower vertebrae. It's very, very painful, but there really isn't a surgical intervention, but there are other treatments, and physical therapy twice a week is helping. But the main thing is he can't get comfortable enough to get any good sleep. And
okay.
If he's not comfortable, he's in a lot of pain.
Okay.
So it's a rough go.
Let's be remembering each other in this time of prayer, and don't hesitate to pull one of us to the side. You know, we'll have a time of prayer. And let us know about different ones that are going through different things as well. Yes, Barb.
I want to ask for prayer, and I want to give a praise.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Okay.
Trevitt's having knee surgery tomorrow.
Okay.
He's been needing it for 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
And I called today, and we talked, and he said he's nervous, but he's not scared.
Okay.
And I said, well, please know that people are praying for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit more, and then he said, would you pray for me? I said, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I prayed for him, and I said, okay, well, I guess you better go. And he said, no. He said, I'd like to pray for you.
Okay. Okay.
And that warmed my heart, and I'm more excited about him wanting to pray than I do.
Well,
then I'm worried about the knee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But,
that there's a softness at this time as well.
Because
there's been a hardness.
Yeah, there's been a do my own thing kind of
right.
All summer. But I think he's resting in the Lord. I didn't sense a lot of anxiety about it. He's just wanting to get it over with so we can go on. But he did.
Mm-hmm.
But he cared about.
The Lord encouraged you.
And I told him, I guess the one thing that I shared with him, I said, well, you know, when I wrecked my shoulder, I realized I had never thanked God every day for all the parts that work.
Good point.
You know, Mm-hmm. The first one to complain about something that hurts.
Right.
But how? Just think how many things in your body work daily without
mm-hmm.
you telling them to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah. And I said, so God's got it.
Yeah. That's great, because we know there's been a running for a long time. So Trevit would be, how would we relate Trevit to you, Barb?
My great nephew by marriage.
Great nephew by marriage. Which, where is he from again?
Germany.
Well, I know that, but.
Well, he's born in Bangkok.
Okay. So Thailand, adopted by a German mom, which lives in Germany. So that alone's already been a rough upbringing for him. And he received the Lord over here 1 year over the summer, didn't he?
I was told that.
Mm-hmm. And it prayed.
I don't really remember who it was he prayed with. But
I can't remember either, but I remember him praying. Donald, do you remember?
I know we had a lot of conversations about it, but Shannon exactly prayed with.
Okay. What's important is we remember a time where him praying here, over here over the summer with Family Bible, I believe. And so, and there was a great softening, but of course, with anything, you have to own it as he goes into those teenage years. And a lot of oppression where he is as well. So we're really thankful to hear that the Lord's softening in his heart at this time and the work God's doing with him. So let's remember these different ones at this time. Pastor Greg's brother, Kim Phelps, of course, family. We have Trevit. Different ones, opportunities to minister as well. Jeremiah, brother, would you lead us?
Dear Lord, we come before you this evening. We're so grateful for your loving kindness and your mercies. We're thankful for these different opportunities, Lord, that even being in this world and us choosing sin over you, you've used these different opportunities and these different trials to bring us closer to you. Lord, we're thankful that you're merciful to us during this time. We just lift up the different ones who have been in accidents and different ones going through surgeries and the others who are sick. Lord, we know you're good. We know you can only do good. And I thank you for that. Just keep everyone in your prayers, and most of all, I'm thankful that you sent your son so that one day we don't have to go through any of this anymore.
Mm.
In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen, brother. Well, it's a wonderful night watching the children, an opportunity to encourage one another, lift one another up to the Lord, and I'm just really excited to have Mr. D back with us as well. So if we would, let's look into Proverbs 7 with the children. Tonight I'm going to try to end probably around 8-ish. I don't want to go too long with the children next door. They're having a Christmas time and celebration coming together. And so I don't want to go too long tonight. So just want to kind of give you a heads up there. But the goal is to try to probably finish around 8-ish. And then next week, I also, as I'm mentioning as I'm here, Sunday will be our Christmas service. Remember, it's just one service at 11. I have a running joke. If you come to the 9 a.m. service, you'll be here with the Corbins. That's probably about it. Sorry. And then next Wednesday, we're going to have a time where we have Christ-centered hymns and just come together as a body. And if I can say this, as we begin to sing these doctrinally sound Christ-centered hymns, it is something that will enrich our souls refresh our souls in him. And so we're going to have that time next Wednesday. For those of you who have different songs that God has used to minister to you, Mr. Sonny and I, we're going to be up here allowing you to share. And Lord willing, I'm going to try to sing right along with him. And we're all going to sing together. But it is, when you listen to some of the words of these hymns, these Christmas hymns, You can't even listen to these children. I'm sitting over there in my seat. I told you at first, I'm going, I just want to get up and move. I am encouraged. It builds up your soul. So just want to pass that on to you. Yes, sir, Mr. Son.
We're going to pull that list. It's back in the back. I'm going to pull it on Sunday. So you you got tonight and through Sunday to put your favorite, you know, whatever song that you want on there. If you see it's already on there and you want to put another one, we'll go ahead and do it. Sunday's the day.
I know we've been, Sammy's been singing them for weeks now. And she'll just belt some of them out. And I'll say, that's the most beautiful song I've ever heard. And that little girl just sings them. And I just love it. Yes, Miss Kim.
Next Wednesday, same time, 7 o'clock?
Yes, I believe so. 7 o'clock, I believe. Where's Aunt Connie? 7 o'clock? Okay. And so let me apologize to some of you. It's been between James and I running around here and working out here and then taking over Wednesday nights. My schedule's kind of got rearranged. And so there's some weeks where I go, okay, I need to focus on this week. I'll get there as I get there. And so please forgive me for the lack of detail that I need to be sharper on. So, but 7 p.m., yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, all right, let's open up to Proverbs 7, and let's just see what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Proverbs 7, the title I've given it is The Power of Cherishing. And try not to make them too long, but I'm trying to make them to the point where it causes us to think. And that's what Proverbs is there for, which all of God's Word we should consider and think upon. But it's to cause us to think, the power of cherishing. We can cherish the wrong things, and that can lead us into all kinds of problems. Or we can cherish the right things, specifically God's Word, and it'll be a protecting force in your life. The reason why I really leaned that way is if we come into verse 2, we'll just start in 1. My son, keep my words. We talked about this word last week in great detail, so I don't want to go too far into it. But just that one word alone, guard, in this case, follow the dictates and the specific four would have been prudence, justice, kindness, wisdom. But God's word is going to teach us these things. But to keep my words, you're going to guard them. And then you have treasure my commandments within you. That is, see them as very valuable, but you have to be extremely valuable. In the 8 to 12 class, one of the things that I've, since taking over that class years ago, one of the things that I've continually tried to instill in them when they come through my class is, if somebody was to offer you $1 million for your Bible, what would you do? And it's funny at first when you ask the question when they're not really sure, and you'll see some raise their hand and but the one thing that I begin to teach them and try to help them walk through is to let them know, I'm sorry, it's not for sale. That's my Bible. That's God's Word. That's my teardrops on that page. That's my handwriting on those pages. That's my relationship with God, and it's not for sale. It is the most valuable thing on the face of this earth outside of my salvation is the Word of God. It is my relationship with the Word of God. It is not for sale. And to treasure the commandments within you, keep my commandments and live. If you want to have an abundant life, if you want to experience life the way it was meant to be with God, and my teaching as the apple of your eye, it is that which is precious. It is that which is cherished. We would have the saying in the world, you know, if we're talking about a child, well, that's the apple of their eye. You know, I would hear the stories of Michelle's grandfather with her and all the different grandchildren, or even Michelle's grandmother at different times. You'd hear all the stories of the different grandchildren, and you would say, they're the apple of his eye. That's the most precious thing for that man at this time in his life. And in this particular case, my teaching as the apple of your eye, which that word teaching would be the word Torah, which is going to be the word law. To keep God's word, God's law, God's directives, God's boundaries, his do's, his don'ts, keep that as the apple of your eye. So the power of cherishing, what's it going to do? Verse 3 would tell them to bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. We went over what some of these words meant last week, but you're going to hold on to this. You're going to grasp this with the physical, the mental, the emotional. You're going to say to wisdom, you are my sister, that there is a passionate protection, and call understanding your intimate friend. discernment. There's a great closeness. If I could put it this way, there's going to be the directive of God, but we're also learning and discerning through how does this play out in my life today? It would almost tie into the book of James, faith without works is dead. There should be something that activates you and I. And the word of God is not just meant to be words on a page. It is that which is given to us to be lived out. If I could put it to you this way, if we were to go back into Proverbs 1, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The living out the word of God and treasuring his commandments in our heart is one of the ways that we get to show God that we love him back. It is one of the ways that we get to show God we treasure his word back. We get to live these things out. Verse 5, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. So here it is again, verses 1 through 4. If you will do these things, 5 is going to keep you from the adulteress. It's going to keep you from sin. It's going to keep you from the foreigner. What's unique in verse 5 about this word adulteress, it's different than, say, if we were to go back into a previous passage where it would have adulteress. This particular word adulteress, when you would look it up, Strong's lexicon, when you would look it up, it would be a woman, a wife, a female, just not yours, but it could be. So it would be woman, wife, female. If you were to go all the way back into Genesis 2, it says she was taken out of man. So it's going to talk about being the woman, the wife, the female. Now, what's unique is if you were to take the root word, it's going to tie right back into man. Now, if you were to take the root word back one more time, you wouldn't believe it if I told you, but it has a meaning to be frail, to be feeble, and I liked this part how it explained it, melancholy. It would keep you from the melancholy. If I was to tell you the definition of melancholy, it would be depression of spirit. So as I begin to cherish that word of God, as I begin to have deep affection for the word of God, and I cherish it, it's literally going to protect you from depression of spirit. It's going to be that which guards you from that. Is it possible that Psalm 16, verse 11, that tells us that in his presence is fullness of joy, and in his right hand are pleasures forevermore? Is it possible? Is it possible? What God is letting us know, that by just sitting down and spending time in his word, to get to know him, to understand who he is, to read about his promises, to read about the things that I don't want to do, to read about the things that he encourages me to do, that will bring great blessing and benefit into my life and those around me. Is it possible that that word of God is so powerful that it'll keep me from going into the realm of the weak and the feeble and the depression of spirit? What I would submit to you, this passage is telling us, yes, that it will. And I believe as we continue to go further, we're going to look at verses 6 through 10 tonight, and I'm going to have to do it briefly. And so, Miss Tina, if I'm talking fast, please forgive me. And so we're going to move forward, but that it would keep you. And then watch this, the foreigner who flatters with their words. The foreigner is that which is different. It keeps you from being drawn away from that which is different. We're going to continue to go. There's a lot more we can jump into. Next week we'll have our Christmas service, but the following week we'll jump into this more. And what I'd like to do tonight is cover 6 through 10. But as we go further in the rest of the proverb, I want to bring in that part of 2 Samuel where King David goes out onto the roof at night. What led him there? And then the things that came out of that, I believe, is going to kind of be a parallel to this. So we're going to go ahead and pick up in verse 6. So if we think verses 1 through 5 there, the cherishing part is the apple of the eye, will keep you from the adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words, the allurement to begin to let go of cherishing that word, and what would cause us to do that. But ultimately tonight, what led them? I think a part of it is we stop believing Psalm 16. It's somewhere you stop believing as a Christian. But I think he's going to give us a picture of what happens when you don't. And so let's look in that in verses 6 through 10 tonight. For at the window of my house, picture Solomon, I looked out through my lattice. So he's beginning to give us the experiment that he's watched on his own. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. So this word naive would be the word silly if you were to look it up, but it also ties into that which is seducible. One of the ways that I like to explain it is they're easily impressionable. And this really ties into all of us. If 1 Corinthians, bad company corrupts good morals. You hang around something long enough, it's going to be impressionable on you. And that's even as a Christian, and I'll give you an example. Me and the boys years ago, you know, you try to find something that you can watch on TV that's halfway honorable these days. And so we stumbled across the Duck Dynasty show, and we would watch it, and I'm thankful that it was clean in this day and age. And it wasn't long before I started talking to like Uncle Si. I just couldn't help it. And boy, I tell you, I enjoyed it. And then I caught myself one night and I go, this is Proverbs. I mean, there's a lot of things could be worse, but I go, I'm talking like this guy. I go, it shows you how impressionable we are, even as Christians. But the point here is the naive, we know, would be the silly, the seducible. As we go further in Proverbs, it would be the one who did not cherish God's word. He did not cherish God's commands. And if you go, you dig into the word a little bit more, it has the meaning of open-minded. You ever heard that growing up? Someone tells you, you just need to be more open-minded. Scripture would tell you, no, you don't. This passage would tell you, no, you don't need to be more open-minded. And it would talk about easily enticed and misled. So I saw among the naive, those that are seducible, and I discerned among the youths. The word youths would be a son, would be the word Ben. I really like a part of this word because the way it's explained is as a builder of the family name. So for the young people that I have in here tonight with us, when you go, and even all Christians, but as you go, you represent the kingdom of God. And even for anyone who sits in this church as a Christian, you have to understand anywhere you go, you represent Christ. If you're taking the name Christian, you're representing the family name. And then one of the things that I would often tell the boys, we would always tell them, first and foremost, you represent Christ. That's first and foremost. Second, you represent this family. It's our name on the back of that jersey. Remember that. And it's something you begin to try to instill in them as they go. You represent Christ first and foremost. But he said these word youths, those that would be young, a builder of the family name, he says, but I discerned. This was a word that I really liked as well. It is the word Ben, but it's B-I-N, not B-E-N. From like a son. But the word Ben here is mentioned 34 times in the book of Proverbs. The next closest would be 26, which was the book of Psalms. So you do the math. That's a pretty big tilt. So the word discern, it can also be the word understand when we see in Scripture. Probably like the word, verse 4, call understanding your intimate friend. Discern. What I liked about it, and it is something that receiving Christ, he's really just tried to instill in me more than I ever even knew, but it is to separate mentally, to distinguish. He says, I begin to distinguish and I begin to separate mentally and I begin to see amongst the youths a young man lacking sense. The word lacking would be without. He would be destitute. Put another way, he's in major need of it. He's in major need of sense. What that word sense would be the word leb. It would be the word heart. So if I can put it this way, what we talked about and I mentioned earlier, that a lack of affection will lead to wonderment. Actually, I didn't tell you yet. That was the title for tonight. A lack of affection. Because we can see the apple of the eye. That lack of affection, that lack of single focus to love God's word in your life, that lack will lead to a sense of wonderment. And to give you the definition of wonderment is to become, you become curious about other things. That would tie into that which is different, the foreigner. So he's lacking sense, which is heart. Put another way, he's lacking love. He's lacking affection. But a part of what sense would talk about in the word heart would be his feelings, the things that he's affectionate about, your will. So if I can put it kind of this way, the things that you're affectionate about are the things that you'll pursue. You'll find yourself as a purpose in your life. The other part, it'll tie into the way you think. So he's lacking this heart of thinking upon and affections for the right things. But it would also talk about the center of anything, because it talks about the bowels, the center. He says he's not centered, he's not single-minded, he's not single-focused on the desire to know God and to please God. It's going to lead into this wonderment. So he says, I saw, I discerned a young man lacking sense, verse 8, passing through the street near her corner. Whose corner? The adulteress's corner. He's going near that place without that affection towards the word of God, that cherishing of the word of God. It's opening the door to wonder. It's opening the door. He's passing through the street near her corner. We're talking about the adulteress here, which if it's the same word, or actually what he's talking about is that adulteress. He's going near her corner, which is going to lead to the depression of spirit. When we begin to stop cherishing that word of God and cherishing getting to know our Father, it opens the door to wonder, which is the reason why Proverbs 4 says you got to guard that heart. Because Jeremiah 17 tells us that that heart is desperately sick. Who can know it? And it's corrupt. It's incurable until Christ comes in. But that's why guarding those affections are very important in a life as a Christian. It says he's passing through the street near her corner and he takes the way to her house. The word takes would be, you would see steps in your Bible, but the gentle and slow pace of delicate youth. Were you ever growing up and you heard your mother or father say, speed up, put some pep in your step, let's go. And you see the youth at times, sometimes it's passive aggressive and they just start, you know. Other times it's the youth wanting to take in all of what the world has to offer. And there's this delicate, slow pace that they're now taking, trying to just take in all the world. There's a danger of not cherishing the Word of God. It literally opens the door to trouble in your life. But cherishing the Word of God and filling that data bank of what the Word of God says in your life, like I said, will be a protecting power in your life. You'll be able to recognize the false. You'll be able to know clearly what God wants you to do. And you'll be single-minded and single-focused, apple of the eye. So we come in, we keep going. Passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house. This word way would be the word derrick. We've talked about this a few times already, which would have a meaning of a course of life or a mode of action, which would also tie into building a habit, which is very unique that I would put it in here this way, because what it's letting us know is you can build a habit very quickly that can be very destructive. Just like you can build a habit and taking time in Psalm 16 and believing that in his presence is fullness of joy and in his right hand is pleasures forevermore. If we will but believe that, you will cherish God's word, because as you get into that word, quite frankly, it's one of the main ways you have a relationship with him. You're entering into the presence with him, getting to know your Heavenly Father. You can also build a habit of not doing it. And the more you build that habit of not sitting down, of not cherishing the Word of God, it opens the door to allurement. It opens that door. Now, what's unique is I wanted to bring in that habit building. Because as Christians, we want to start to build the habit of cherishing the Word of God, seeing that Word of God is the most valuable thing in our lives. It is that time we get to know our Heavenly Father. What's unique about building a habit is they say about 21 days it takes to build a habit. About 21 days. You guys want to know another pretty cool number? 66 days to change a behavior. How many books are in the Bible? 66 books. I just thought it was unique. That's what the world says. But I'm going to take that as the hand of God saying, I got this. Let me show you. So we're passing through the street near her corner. He takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. Now, we don't have a lot of time, but I believe this verse 9 really is a hinge in the proverb. I believe it opens the door, and it's a very deep verse that we could dig in. We have about 3-4 minutes, so I'm going to try to kind of briefly walk us through this. It says, in the twilight, so this word dusk would be the word twilight, which would be a time of concealment. If you think about Nicodemus going to Christ at night, it is a time when the sun starts to go down. And if you've ever worked a long day and the sun starts to kind of set, we had some of these nights out here at the church, and the sun would begin to set, and say it's a hot day, and let's just say it was a very productive day, and you're beginning to clean up, and you still got energy and strength left, but it's more of a calm, a time of relaxing, and you begin to look upon the work that was done. God bless the work of your hands. And you begin to feel that cool breeze that starts to go by, and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's really an encouraging time. But what's unique is this word twilight, the very root word means breeze. You're looking for refreshment. It's like King David went on the roof of that house when he should have been doing something else. If you don't cherish that word of God and find our fulfillment and our relationship with the Lord as a human being or even as a Christian, you're going to look for refreshment somewhere. You will. So much so that even in Matthew 12, the unclean spirit looked for refreshment but could not find any in the places that he was going. So we have this word breeze, to blow up fresh, a place of refreshment. This young man is looking for refreshment, but it's only going to be found in that relationship with the Lord. And it's going to be a protecting force in his life. It says, so we're at the twilight, we're in the evening. The word evening would be a time of the sunset. It is the word night. What's unique is the root word for evening would be to intermix, which is the very root word for surety that was in Proverbs 6. So as we start to look for refreshment outside of that relationship with the Lord, you will begin to intermingle and intermix with the wrong things. So the twilight, the evening, we go on to say the middle of the night. The word middle is actually going to tie right back into the apple of the eye. It is the middle of the eye. The middle of the night, which is the deepest blackness. And so the focus of his eye is on the darkness. And what's also unique is if you were to break it down even more to the root word, it ties right back into the root word, which came from adulteress. It is that which will leave us feeble, that which will leave us weak, and that which will leave us melancholy. when we begin to focus on the wrong things, look for refreshment, intermingle into the wrong things. And then the word night, which is opposed to day, has a meaning to twist away of the light. You're welcoming in adversity, which is unique in the progression of the way this is going. Twilight, evening, middle of the night, and the darkness. The word darkness would be duskness. It is figuratively for misfortune, gloominess, calamity. It is a simile for wickedness, which would tie right back into Proverbs 4. The way of the wicked is darkness. It is that which will lead you into depression of spirit. So if I could start to kind of bring all of this, if we'll look at verse 10. Okay, so he passes the way near her corner. He's going about looking for refreshment and the wrong things. He's going to be intermingled. He's going to find depression of spirit. He's going to begin to become hostile to light. He's going to begin at that point to be drawn in to that which is hostile to God, taking on the darkness. And guess what happens? Behold, a woman comes to meet him, and she's dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. If I can put it this way, you start looking for refreshment in the wrong things, it's going to find you. And before you know it, it will lure you. So where does all of this start, and where can we as Christians step back and take a principle out tonight? I believe where it can start is if you and I stop believing Psalm 16. If you'll turn there with me, and we'll bring it to a close. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will make me known. You will make known to me the path of life. You'll show me what is truly going to be a blessing, that which is abundant, that which is going to bring benefit and goodness into my life. You're going to make it known to me, Lord, because I'm going to seek you, and you're going to show me what's going to bring benefit and blessing into my life, because you know best, and you are light, and you are love, and I am not. And then it goes on to say, in your presence is fullness of joy. I shared earlier, is it possible that just taking that time out of your day and getting alone with your God, saying, okay, God, I just want to spend time with you. I remember when I was working full-time in the trade, and having to be in at 6:15 in the morning and usually not getting home till around 5, having a young family, I remember setting the alarm clock early. And if I can encourage some of you men or moms or women or brothers and sisters, there were some mornings that I would just break down one or two verses, just breaking it down and chewing on it. And, okay, God, what are you trying to say here? And I would leave that seat encouraged, strengthened, protected from the pitfalls of that day, you know? Now, everyone's different. Me, when the sun goes down and if I'm at home, I'm looking for the bed to crawl into. Some people are more awake at night. Now, I would encourage you, according to this passage, you don't go hanging out at night. Thessalonians 5 would talk some about this. But you may have more energy. I'd encourage you to look for that time. Look for that habit. They say it takes 21 days to build a habit. But you cherishing that word of God and getting to know your Father is going to be a protecting force in your life for you to start looking for refreshment and fulfillment somewhere else and bringing those spirits of depression into our lives. He goes on to say, in your presence is fullness of joy. As I begin to sit down and just spend time with him, in your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Where we go wrong is if we'll stop believing this. If you stop believing this, you'll stop cherishing the commands and the directives of God, the law of God, the word of God. You'll stop cherishing it. You stop cherishing it, you'll start looking for refreshment somewhere else. But praise be to God. If I can encourage you this way, we serve a very gracious God, a very loving God. First John is clear. I come before the Lord, I confess He's faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. We have a God that says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We have a God that's beckoning, come back, come. And I can guarantee you, you take that step close to him, and you begin to look for that time to say, Lord, I believe Psalm 16:11. I believe these things. And Lord, I want to cherish your word. When we begin to go down that road, it's a protecting force in your life. And you'll experience the protecting power of God in your life. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I've experienced first thing the power of your word and meditating on your word. You tell us that we'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. We'll bear fruit. We won't be afraid when drought comes. It will be an anchor for our soul. So, Lord, may you just encourage my brothers and sisters tonight. May you encourage me that, Lord, we want to cherish your word. And you tell us that if we do, it'll be a protecting power in our lives. We want to begin to teach our children this. We want to begin to instill it in them that they would know you. Lord, we just can't say enough how thankful we are and that we acknowledge that, Lord, there is a power with you. You protect us from stumbling. You protect us from being allured. When our single focus and single-mindedness, the center of our affections, the center of our eye, when we're focused on you, like Peter, he begins to walk on the water. But as he takes his eyes off of you, he begins to sink because he notices the waves. So, Lord, we know there's difficulties out here. But, Father, but because your word is an anchor and we believe it, Lord, we build our house on the rock. And when the waves come, they do not knock us over because, Lord, we're anchored in who you are. May you anchor us. May you strengthen us. May you stir in our hearts a love for your word. And, Lord, we believe that as we do, we're just going to experience your protecting power in our lives, especially from allurement towards the wrong things. In Jesus' name, amen.